Before we begin, so let's just discuss in general what is Zeis Chanukah all about. Zeis Chanukah obviously is the 8th day of Chanukah. All the candles are finally lit on the menorah. It took 8 days to. Today is the yard site of the father of Dr. Yanky Fruchter. His father's name is Mordechai Yitzchak ben Menachem Mendel. So we're going to learn now Lezecher Ule'ilui Nishmasai. May his neshama have a lichtig of Gan Eden and the zechus of the learning, and especially in the zechus of his wonderful children, namely, specifically, what we have here in our kollel, one of the founders of the kollel. Today is the anniversary of the kollel. Today we started a number of years ago. We don't count numbers, but many years ago we started here together. And Baruch Hashem, it's been a wonderful ride, a very big zechus. Opportunity and the schus to learn Torah, and it was very much makir toiv to the Baruch Shleilam. And Yanky Fruchter was one of the big parts in making this happen. You're a big recruiter. You're a good recruiter. You told a lot of people. You're a good PR, good marketing, good marketer.
How many people did you start out with?
Like this, similar to this.
I was 8 days.
Similar to this.
8 days.
Pretty much the same. Full page advertising, the flappish Jewish Journal.
Yeah.
It was a bargain. Now you know the cost. Now I was working with someone that we wanted. What?
I wonder who started.
I know. So the one who started this whose idea was the president of the OU now. His name is.
Bain.
Who's Bain? Yeah, Moshe Bain.
Oh, no.
Is that a president anymore?
No, he's president now.
President now? No, Moshe Bain. Is that a president now, Moshe Bain?
Yes, he is.
That's
who
I keep getting my emails from.
Moshe Bain.
No, not Moshe Bain is now the president. I never met him, I never saw him, but Moshe Bain, I was called, someone I know from Chaim Berlin, he's now a Rashi in Chaim Berlin, he's a Meir Simcha Khan. Meir Simcha Khan became a Rosh Masifta in the Beis Medrash. And I went to school with him in yeshiva, and he called me one Friday, I was in the car, and he called me, he says, he has a friend, the friend's name is, come to me, there's someone, his friend works for Moshe Bain, and Moshe Bain wanted to start a network of koilim for retirees, very similar to Agra de Pirkas, extremely successful koilil here, at Reconshul, which is funded and headed by, I forget everyone's name. Ezra Klein. Anyone know Ezra Klein in the neighborhood? He lives here in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Ezra Klein started this thing called Agra de Pirka, the reward of the Perik. Agra de Pirka and Rabbi Konshul, they must have 60, 70 people, I heard. They have multiple shiurim every single day. And now
On
17th Street. So it's his project. It's all him. And they started by Konshul and became very successful. Then he expanded to Borough Park. And in Borough Park, they have many in Queens, I know for sure. They have a branch down in Lakewood. And they have a branch maybe even in Florida.
Miami.
What?
Miami
just started Miami. He has at least 5-6 branches called Agra de Pirka. So it seems that Moshe Bain, I have no idea if he knew about this, did not know about this, wants something different. He wanted to sponsor a network of koilim. He wanted to make the first one here and in the Lower East Side and in another place. And he has someone who works for him. And he told him, get it going. So they're looking for someone to say a shir. So he asked Meir Simcha Khan, who he knows very well. And Meir Simcha Khan was scratching and said, who can we find? Who do I know that might be interested? And somehow he called me up. He called me, would you be interested? I says, all right, whatever, I'll try. And we came together.
We're still trying,
that's right. We're still trying, absolutely. We're still trying. We're still struggling. And I spoke to the Rav. And he did, this fellow, I forgot his name, Yosef. That was coming back to me. Yosef. I don't even know. So everything was over the phone, texting. And we came up with what we're going to learn. And he spoke to the rabbi, and I spoke to the rabbi, and he came out to speak. The rabbi called me. I went to his home to speak to him, and then they gave me money to put an advertisement in the paper, and then I told him what svarim, and I came. All the svarim were here. He put all the svarim, and that was the last I heard from him. I'm not joking. I've contacted him, and they came to see him. He didn't have come to see me. I told him about this. They had to see him, and he said he's going to come. He couldn't come. He had to take his kids. He was very, very tired. And I don't know, just somehow I lost contact with him. And the program obviously never materialized in a Lower East Side and the other places. And they left us high and dry. But Baruch Hashem, it worked out well.
What is this SDAJE
project elsewhere?
SD? I have no idea.
SDAJE.
What is that?
Something with Jewish education.
Adult education?
I
have no idea. Okay, whatever it is. So Baruch Hashem, we learn here. We survived. Halavai Vaita. Okay, so let's be good. Let's learn now. And I want to thank everyone here for participating and for assisting Baruch Hashem. It's been a nice run. We've been learning. Let's learn today a little bit about Zois Chanukah. What is Zois Chanukah all about? The very simple meaning of Zois Chanukah is because it's the last day of Chanukah. Today the learning began. Zois Chanukas HaMizbech. After we go through the 12 Nisim, we conclude with the word Zois Chanukas HaMizbech. This was the Chanukah, the dedication of the Mizbeach. Chanukah is also the dedication, the time when there was a rededication of the Mizbeach, as we know that the Mizbeach was contaminated because the Yevonim were offering karbonos to pagan gods, Avodah Zarah, and that when the Chashmonaim retook possession of the Beis HaMikdash, they demolished the old Mizbeach, and they put its stones in Geniza in one of the chambers of the Beis HaMikdash. There was a chamber there along the north wall of the Azara. It was called the Beis HaMikdash. There was a fire burning there to keep the Kohanim warm. That's where they slept. There was a chamber in that room where they stored the stones, the old stones of the old Mizbeach. And they built a new Mizbeach, and they sanctified it, and they offered korbanos for the first time on Chanukah. So therefore, when we say the word Chanukah, the simplest understanding, the reason why it's called Chanukah means the rededication of what? The rededication of the Mizbeach. The Chanukas HaMizbeach. And the way the Pasuk defines this rededication is with the term Zos Chanukas HaMizbeach. And thus the eighth day of Chanukah is called Zos Chanukah. In fact, someone to suggest is that the first time they offered korbanos on the Mizbeach was indeed the last day of Chanukah. Okay, when they took back the Beis HaMikdash, it took 7 days to demolish the old Mizbeach and to rebuild a new Mizbeach. And the first time they were able to offer korbanos was on the eighth day of Chanukah. That's why, we've emphasized Zos Chanukas HaMizbeach. Yeah.
I'm not clear. During this time when the Yevonim had control, people did not bring korbanos?
No, it seems not.
I mean, for 50 years?
52 years, yes.
Not in Yom Kippur, not what? Rosh Hashanah, the whole
shebang
did not go?
No one really knows. It's a very big mystery. There are a lot of mysteries. This is a very big mystery. What exactly happened during this time? Look in Tanakh. Look at the Bais Rishon. Did they offer Korbanos LaHashem every single Yom Kippur, every single day? The degree of Avodah Zarah that was going on, and what it says in the Svarim, and it says that they built a different Mizbeach, and they rejected Hashem's Mizbeach, you get the impression that Bais Rishon was not functional for 410 years straight. Doesn't seem so. If you're going to tell me, even though they're worshiping Avodah Zarah, they also worship the carbon Tamim Shal Shachem Tamim Shal Ben Arbayim. Okay, maybe it's true. There's no records. No one knows. Mamish, no one knows what happened during the time of the Bais Rishon, and even during the Bais Sheni. And it would seem not. It would seem that for a 52-year period, there was big trouble. It was a 52-year period of Shemat, where Jews were not able to practice their religion publicly. They were not, even in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim. You had to go into a basement to be a Shomer Shabbos. So does that mean that the Beis HaMikdash was not functional? They did not offer korbanos to Hashem, they offered korbanos to gods? I have no idea. Both? It seems, I don't know, we really do not know.
But the Mishnah says that they were mavatal the carbon tumet.
That means after they got it started going again. You have to say that when it says in the Mishnah that on Shivas and B'Tamuz, is when they were mevatel the Talmud. Shabbat Talmud was after they got it started going once again. L'shem Shemayim. Both. It says both. I think it says both. I don't know. Maybe whatever, whichever one it refers to. It means things were good once again. They recovered from the last problem, and they were offering the Talmud Shel Ben Harbayim now, and it was going on for many, many years. And now this was the last time. The last time, but it does not necessarily mean that they were offering the Talmud Shel Ben Harbayim and Shel Shachar continuously from the moment that they dedicated the Beis HaMikdash. Because how else do you explain the story of Hanukkah when it says that it was defiled because they were offering a Karbanis to Avodah Zarah? So what were they doing until then? It would seem very similar. They were not offering korbanos. You'll tell me an answer that no, they were on the side, the makom hamizbeach. There are all the different lamdasha answers. Okay, maybe if it's true, it's true. But the pshuta shel mikra, the simple understanding is there was a, what's the word, a hiatus. It was suspended. There was a suspension of the korbanos during this period of time. Okay, so therefore Chanukah is the zman of when the mizbeach was Zos Chanukah is the day when the Mizbeach was rededicated. That's one reason why we call it Zos Chanukah. Okay, another reason why we call it Zos Chanukah is because the famous question of the Beis Yosef, not the Beis Yosef question, but it's an older question, why do we need to celebrate Chanukah for 8 days? We could make a holiday just for 7 days. There was enough oil to last for 1 day. So what was the real miracle? The real miracle was 7 days. They came into the Beis HaMikdash, they only found the Pach Shemen, and the Pach Shemen was enough to last for 1 day, approximately for 1 day. So let them light the menorah, and they'll have 1 day. And what happened? The menorahs lasted for 8 days. So from those 8 days, how many of those days were truly a miracle? Seven, not eight. So why then do we celebrate Chanukah for 8 days? So who asked this question? This is called the question of the Beis Yosef. How many answers? He wrote a sefer called Ner Lemeya, gave 100 answers to this question. 100 answers. Truth is, there are only really 4 answers. The other answers are all spin-offs. They're all spin-offs. Spin-offs of one answer. You want to go split hairs, they're spin-offs. All the answers are really all the same. They're all very similar. Whatever the answer, we want to spend time on this, whatever it is. But the point is, there is another dimension to Chanukah that demands an extra day. It's true, the Neros lit for 8 days, only 7 days were a miracle. But we celebrate an eighth day. Why? Because it was not just celebrating a miracle. Wow, miracle, the candles lasted so long. We're celebrating basically the renaissance of Klal Yisrael, the rebirth of Klal Yisrael, the miraculous survival of Klal Yisrael in this Tekufa. This was the end of Golus Yavan. Golus Yavan came to an end. It's a holiday to celebrate Golus, the end of Golus Yavan. We also celebrate the menorah. It's wrapped up in a nice package with a Hanukkah menorah, 8 candles. We say Hallel, we say Al Hanisim, we eat latkes and donuts, and we have a Hanukkah party, v'chulu v'chulu. But what are we really celebrating? We are celebrating the survival of Klal Yisrael in a very difficult situation. The Yevanim were bent on destroying us. B'chol dor v'dor oimdim oleinu l'chaloseinu v'yakadosh baruch hu matzileinu miyadam. And therefore we have one extra day of Chanukah to recognize the nitzchis of Klal Yisrael, that the Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. Okay, all of the 100 answers are rooted in what I just told you. Okay, you can take a lot of answers to the question why, and a lot of technical. You can mamish go meshuga and giving technical answers why you needed an 8 day miracle. But when the day is over, all of those answers don't hold up. The only answer really is this one day that we celebrate the Nitzchis of Klal Yisrael. And that is day 8. And that is today. And that's why today is the essence of Chanukah, Zos Chanukah. This is what Chanukah is all about. Okay, then I'll tell you a lightweight vart from Rav Shmuel Birnbaum. Zechet Tzadik Levracht, Rav Shmuel Birnbaum, Yeshiva. Shmuel Birnbaum, for all the Rav Shivas, he was known to be a very big masmid. Hasmada, he was very, very tough. very, very, not to waste a second learning to an extreme. So he complained that it's the Chanukah, it's not a good Yom Tov for Bnei Torah. They want to be makbid and lighting the Neros Mizman, so they leave the Beis Medrash 4 o'clock. They leave the Beis Medrash 4 o'clock to get home so they can light Neros at half an hour after Shkia, 25 minutes after Shkia, and then what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to come back to the Beis Medrash to continue learning. Do they come back? You don't come back. No one comes back. Once you leave, no one is coming back to the Beis Medrash. They're off to the races, to the Chanukah parties, to the concerts, to family, v'chulu, v'chulu. But what is Chanukah all about? The menorah. What does the menorah symbolize? It symbolizes Torah. Kiner mitzvah v'toyra or. So what is it? It's counterproductive, counterintuitive, this whole miracle. Is he supposed to learn the mechazik yourself in the Or Torah? And comes Chanukah, what happens? Bittles man. Time to light 4 o'clock, no second seder, no night seder. The whole year, you sit the second seder, night seder, and here Chanukah, you're running away. There's only one day that's an exception. It's the last day of Chanukah. The last day of Chanukah, there's no candles to light for the ninth day. So you don't have to leave the Beis Medrash at 4 o'clock on the last day of Chanukah to light candles. You have no excuses. The last day of Chanukah, there's no excuse to run away from the Beis Medrash. Oh, Zois Chanukah. This is what the real Chanukah is all about. Okay, this is tongue-in-cheek. Tongue-in-cheek word from Rav Shmuel Birnbaum, Zechusag Levracha, to explain why it's called Zos Chanukah. We have three reasons. Okay, there are probably 100 reasons why it's called
Yisroel
Chanukah. Today, I didn't take any question from anyone else. Okay,
today,
I'm not taking questions. Okay, so this is not for anyone. Not singling you out. Today, this is not. So this is Zos Chanukah. Three reasons why we have Chanukah. The laning Zos Chanukah Hamizbeach. Today is the essence of what Chanukah is all about, because as far as the Shemin is concerned, we only need to celebrate 7 days. What we're really celebrating today is the Nitzchis of Klal Yisrael and all of the reasons which go along, all the reasons which are Nilvimulov to the question of the Beis Yosef. And the third reason why we celebrate today as more tongue-in-cheek is because today all the parties are over, all the latkes, no more latkes, no more donuts, we're all done, and now let's get down to business. Let's get down to what Chanukah is all about. It's all about the Nitzachon of Torah over a world of futility, a world of Havel Havolim, a world of trouble, to focus on what really is, what life is all about. Okay, now, pun intended, let's now learn a little bit about the Mosu. Mosu is a very beautiful piyut. It's very interesting that we're learning now the Zechel Nishmas of Mordechai Yitzchak ben Menachem Mendel, and the author of Mosur. It's really a little bit of a mystery who he was, but his name was Mordechai. We have a Mordechai on Chanukah. Chanukah's time is Matas Yohu, not for Mordechai. Mordechai is Purim. But yet, the only one who wrote Mosur, look at the acrostic. Look at Mosur, it's Mem, Mosur, Rosh Savanavshi is a Resh. The next one is Devir Kotcha is Dalit, Kirois Kaimas Birosh is a Chof, and Yud is Yevonim. So we have over here Mor Dechai. And the next three words, the last stanza of Chasoif Zeroya Kotchecha, is the first letters of these three words is Chazak. Chazak. So that's very common. Many Piyutim, when
the last stanza didn't.
Oh, that's a very big mystery. Who wrote the last? We'll talk about it. Who wrote the last stanza? Well, that we'll discuss in a few moments. But whatever it is, the way we have it here in the article, Siddur is Mordechai Chazak. He is the mechaber of the piyut of Mo'osur. Who was he? So we assume he lived. We assume we know who he is. He wrote other piyutim. He lived in the time of the Ramban. Okay, so the Ramban lived when, like the 13th century. No, 12th century, I don't remember. The 12th or 13th century was the Ramban. He was a contemporary of the Ramban. He wrote other piyutim, it seems. Let me see if I have it over here. Let's see, give me 1 second. I have it written down over here. Here it is. Mordechai. Okay? Avaloi noda mihu Mordechai zeh. He writes over here, Rabbi Tezda. We do not know who this Mordechai is.
Nobody does.
And then he writes, Uvesefer oilom hatfilois. Rav Monk, Rav Eliyahu Monk, Zatzal, the Rabban, Av Bezdin Priz. Okay, Priz, whoever this is. Kosav Mechabre, Rabbi Mord. Paris, I get that. Paris. Eliyahu Monk. Not the monk over here from America. He writes Mechabre, Rabbi Mordechai Ben Yitzchak. Help me with this. Mechatzisa Harishoyne Shalameh Hayu Gimel. I guess that means, I don't know, whatever this
early
means.
13th century?
13th century, right? Bisman Ramban. I never heard that word before. Machatzisa. What's Machatzisa? Century?
No.
Machatzisa Harishoyna. A millennium? A millennium? I don't know what this means. Machatzisa. I never heard that word. Okay, whatever it is. Ulai Hu Machaber, he wants to suggest, he also wrote a piyut called Mayofis. You would say on Shabbos. You say piyutim, and you say Mayofis Manoim. So he writes here that he is the same person who wrote Mayofis U Mayoim, that the Machaber is the one who wrote Mo'usur. Okay, now what is Mo'usur all about? It's not about Hanukkah. It's about the Dalid Malchios, the specialty of Mechol. The Dalid Malchios. We start with a general introduction, which seems to relate to Hanukkah, pretty much, right? Pretty much. We'll discuss that. And then we go through the Dalid Malchios. We go Bavel. We'll go through in a few moments. Bavel. Bavel. Paras Umadai. Yavan. And then we have a tefillah. We don't celebrate the end. I'm sorry. Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is Rosh Savanav Shikra. We're going to go through in one moment, right? Mitzrayim. Then we go to the Virkot Shel Havyani. We go to Paras. We go Paras Umodai. Okay, the end of Golos. I'm sorry. First is Mitzrayim. Then is Bavel. Then we come to Paras Umodai. Mordechai v'Esther. Then we come to Yavan,
right.
And then we come to Edom. Edom, it's a tefillah because it has not yet ended. So there are really five parts. There are 5/6. There's a general introduction. We're going to go through the whole thing very quickly soon in a moment. Mosur is the general introduction. Then the next stanza is Egypt. The Egypt is not really one of the Dalet Malchias. Egypt, according to some, is a template for all four together. What happened in Mitzrayim was a Maise Ovois Simin Labanim for all of the four Malchios. That is stanza number 2. Stanza number 3, we begin the Dalet Malchios, which was the first nation to subjugate the Jewish people, Bavel, Nebuchadnezzar. He is the one that laid his hands on the Beis HaMikdash. He destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. That's the first, and we survived, we're still here. Even though Nebuchadnezzar tried to destroy us, we are still here, he's long gone. The next stanza focuses on the next nation. Who took over from Nebuchadnezzar? Who took over Bavel? Paras. And Paras segued into Modai. Paras u Modai. Really, Modai came first. Modai then came Paras. And they never gave it up. Paras never gave it up. It was supposed to go back and forth, but they never gave it up. So it was Modai and then Paras. And that's when the miracle of Purim came about. And when Klal Yisrael survived the miracle of Purim, this was, in essence, the survival all over Paras and Modai. And then we had a Beis HaMikdash. We had autonomy for a short period of time. But then who spread their claws on Klal Yisrael for a very long time, for over 103 years? It was Yavan. Yavan was in power for, I think, 103 years. The worst time was the last 52 years, the Gzeres HaShmad, and that was Yavan, 103 years. And we survived, so they're gone. And now we had autonomy for a short period of time until who came on the scene? Edoim. And Edoim did not let go at Hayoim Hazeh, and we wind down with Chasoif Zroi Kodshecha Bakosha Hashem, reveal your power of your arm in order to save us from the Golus of Edoim. So this is Dalid Malchios. I'm telling you, repeating that word that we say every year. It's very, very, very beautiful word, very, just very simple, very, very fundamental. Why, when we have a piyut that was dedicated in honor of Chanukah, and the proof that this piyut was dedicated in honor of Chanukah is the fact that the first stanza refers to Chanukah. The first stanza talks about the Chanukas HaMizbeach. Talks about the sheer mizmar, the Chanukas HaMizbeach, mizmar shir Chanukas HaBayis LaDavid, which clearly is a reference to Chanukah. So if the first stanza dwells and highlights Chanukah, why then does the Paitan have to go and discuss the Dalid Malchios? What do the Dalid Malchios have to do with Chanukah? Just focus on Yevonim Nikbitzu Olai, Azai Bimei Chashmanim, and finished. The answer is the halach in Shulchan Aruch. If a person experiences a miracle, l'mala miderech hateva, person was in a dangerous situation and the miracle happened. So he has an obligation every time he comes to that mokon, that place where the miracle happened, to make a bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, she'osa lines b'makoyim hazeh. It's a very big shalaf. A survivor from the Holocaust goes back to Auschwitz. There aren't too many survivors left. But when they go back to Auschwitz, do they make a bracha? Do they make a bracha she'osa lines b'makoyim hazeh? The fact that I survived, I came out alive. There are many issues with making that bracha, because many did not come out alive. Many, yeah, it is, no question about it. No question about it. Anyone who came out of Auschwitz alive is a miracle. What? The
question is whether that's an appropriate place.
Oh, it's an appropriate place, because many people did not. Well, you only can make the bracha now, and that's the halacha Shulchan Aruch. You only can make the bracha she'osa lines b'makoyim hazeh, in the physical location where the miracle happens. So there's another ethical issue, because many others did not survive. So others did not survive. Is it ethically correct to make a bracha in a place where it is a source of pain for so many other people? It's a very, there's a lot of stuff on this. But the basic point is, when a person survives a miracle, generally, okay, you can't, everything has always many exceptions, you make a bracha when you come to that location. Baruch she'osa li, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, she'osa lines b'makoyim hazeh. Let's say a person in a very, very, very colorful life, and he experienced many miracles. Okay, he experienced the miracle in this location, and he experienced miracles all over the world. Almost every country he goes to, he can say a miracle happened to me here, a miracle over here, a miracle over there. So what do? That every time you travel the world, you make brachas? The answer is yes. But the halacha in Shulchan Aruch is, if you have merited to experience multiple miracles, every time you come to a place where one miracle happened, you have to mention all the miracles. So if you experienced a miracle in Arizona and in California and in Niagara Falls, you almost fell over in Niagara Falls, you hang over, and in Grand Canyon, always a shemazel. Every place the guy goes, always a shemazel. There's always the guy, a miracle happened, he survived in Niagara Falls and the Grand Canyon, and here and there, and then you go to the Grand Canyon, oh, I have to make a bracha. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, she'osa lines b'makoyim hazeh, and you have to mention all the miracles. The miracle that happened to me here, Los Angeles, California, New York, and Eretz Yisrael, all the miracles of your life. That's the halacha. Once you're making the bracha on this miracle, you mechuyev to make a bracha on all of the miracles. Memela, that's what we do in Moed Sur. That's in fact why the minhag is to say Moed Sur after you light candles. Because when we thank Hashem for surviving the galus of Yavan, Yavan wanted to destroy us. It's a miracle we're here today. If they had their way, we would not be here any longer. They, al derech hateva, they had enough manpower to bring about Shemat, to bring the end to the Jewish people in their unique way, by snuffing out religion. So we make a bracha. We light the candles. L'halik ner shel Chanukah, and then we thank Hashem, she'osa nisim lavoseinu b'yomim ochim b'zman hazeh. And now the Shulchan Aruch kicks in. Excuse me, sir, if you're making a miracle bracha because you have a miracle, you're the chuyuv to go and mention all of the miracles that Hashem did for you in your existence. Oh, that's right. So we have to mention Yitzias Mitzrayim, and we have to mention Mordechai v'Esther, and we have to, we'll mention Yevon and Nachum, we'll mention Chanukah again. And new, we'll take this opportunity to be mispalda, we should be zecha to the miracle that should be redeemed from the fourth galus, the galus of Edom. It's just a matter of Shulchan Aruch. That's all it is. You're making a bracha she'osa nisim lavoseinu b'yomim ahem. You have an obligation to mention the miracles, all of the other miracles that Hashem has done for Klal Yisrael throughout history.
So why in Purim don't we mention
all that? Oh, so in Nachan Yishon we do.
Well, Pesach.
We do, we say Asher Haney. You have to go look in Asher Haney. You have to look in the pew, the RC. Unfortunately, we don't do what we're supposed to do. But there are some very, there is the Kravitz. You have to look in the Kravitz. We mentioned the other miracles, and you have to, Kravitz is a very basic thing. Today it's coming back in style. The Kravitz is when the Chazaras HaShatz on Purim, before the Shatz concludes, Baruch Atah Hashem, Mogen Avraham, the Tzibur is supposed to recite the Sofiyot. So this, you should know, today there's a revival. People like the Kravitz. I don't know, for some reason they like it. There's certain Yoitzrois, never. Yoitzrois, see you later, buddy. He's not coming, the Yoitzrois are not coming back. not so soon. No one is going to say the Yoitzrois. I don't see it happening. The Kravitz, I've seen people who are very antagonistic to these type of things have a soft heart to say the Kravitz. It's not so long. It's Purim. It adds a lot of flavor to the davening. And I was very taken. I was really taken. Like I saw, I went to the shul and they said the Kravitz. And they did it well. They really said it with a geschmack.
What's the Kravitz in the Yeshua?
Kravitz is Rosh Tevois. Where how you going to say it for? Kol Rina of Yeshua Ba'ohalei Tzadikim. It's basically a piyut. It's a piyut that you say in the middle of Shmona Esrei. So you say that purpose. There's another Kravitz that we don't say, you say on Tisha B'Av. On Tisha B'Av, there's the first piyut, the first key that we recite on Tisha B'Av is the end, the missing letters of. You start with the letter Samach. So what happened to all the letters until Samach? What happened to Aleph and Nun? That's part of a Kravitz, basically, that on Tisha B'Av, when you say the Shliach Tzibur finishes the Shemoneh Esrei, before it's Baruch Atah Hashem, Magen Avram, you say a couple of lines. That's the beginning of the first Kina. We don't do it today. They don't even have it in the art school kids don't even have Shachar. They didn't put it in. It's really bad. I was really, really surprised they did not put that Kravitz of that Kina in the back, at least in the back of the art scroll, because it's really very fundamental. And some of the other ones they do have. The other ones, the goldsmith Kinas, they have it. Whatever it is. So this is the reason. So you have to look. Yes, a very good question. Why in Purim don't we say Shas and Nisim? So the answer that we really do. It's just that unfortunately we're not saying all of the piyutim that we're supposed to be saying. And those piyutim mentions all the other miracles.
Maybe by the say that we say Shiva Kol Dov
Dov. Oh, but we have piyutim at the end. We have at the very end of that we have four. How many? Four or five? I forgot the piyutim, those songs Echad Yudea and I forgot everything whatever. All those things.
They're all Marami's.
Yeah. The Imam some say explicitly some all different events which happen and which includes that's a fulfillment of the obligation to give Shevach Tashem and all the miracles that Hashem did you. If you look very carefully at the liturgy, the way it's what it was meant to be said, look, not everyone says Mosur. He said the same thing. Everyone says Mosur? Not everyone. I mean, most people, whatever. Some just say they sing one stanza Mosur, and they stop. Why is it here? That's what's supposed to be done. Does everyone do it? Obviously not. Whatever it is. But the lumbus behind it is this very basic principle. Now let's run through the Mosur very quickly inside. Everyone should have it on the page. If you have an Ashkenaz article sitter, it's on page 357. If you have a Sfarad sitter, I don't know, turn a couple of pages, you'll find it somewhere there. Mosur, what does Mosur mean? Hashem is the strength of the rock of my strength. Surzer Hashem Tsuri V'Goali. Everything is based on a pasuk. Hashem is Tsuri V'Goali. Hashem is my rock. What does it mean Hashem is my rock? It's very difficult to interpret. It's a goyish expression. You are my rock. It's like almost a romantic expression. Man says about his wife. Wife, you are my
reliable, solid.
It's strong. I don't know. There's something about it. I want to give you a shot a little later. Maybe Drush. Why we focus on a rock? Moz means the strength. The strength of my rock. Let me tell it to you now what I want to suggest. It's a drush. It's a little bit wild. But we mentioned this in the past before, and I really have a liking to this idea. There are two types of liquids. There is water and shemen. These two liquids stand on extreme opposite sides. Why? Because water is a liquid which is associated with noise. When you pour water, it makes a lot of noise. Koil Hashem al Hamoyim. Hashem al Mayim Rabin. Koil Hashem. Every time Hashem, when you want to hear about the sound of Hashem, we always connect it to Mayim. Because water, when you pour water, it makes a lot of noise. Go to Niagara Falls, it's deafening. Right? You have to put in earplugs. The sound of water pouring is mamish deafening. Shemen doesn't make a peep. If Niagara Falls is flowing with oil, instead of water, you wouldn't hear a sound. That's the Metzius. From all of the liquids in the world, Shemen Zayis makes the least sound. Let's go to a scientist, do a study, okay, to prove this. Water makes the most noise, and Shemen makes the least noise. Aaron was nimshach with the Shemen HaNishcha. Shemen. What's this all about? You take oil, you pour oil on his head and his body. You take the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash and you pour oil on the kelim. What is this all about? What is the hallmark of Aaron? Vayidoim Aaron. There is no one in the world that suffered a tragedy like Aaron HaKohen. The loss of his two children on the day of his greatest simcha. When the Beis HaMikdash was established, when the Shekhinah came from Shemayim to this world, we don't even appreciate this. Fortunately, we don't have any clue what this means, how great what this day was for Klal Yisrael. We appreciate that Hashem, finally the purpose of creation has been achieved, where Hashem now is resting His divine presence on this world for the first time permanently in the Beis HaMikdash on top of the Kruvim. We don't have a clue what this means. And who is the man of the hour? The man that is the chief priest, Aaron HaKohen. And on this day, what happens on this day? His two children die. Rebbein Nishlam, you couldn't wait a couple of days. They did an Avera, you couldn't wait, you know, wait a couple of days. Give me some time. It is utterly shocking, and it is the greatest challenge to Emunah possible. It's not for nothing that on Yom Kippurim, Chazal tell us we lay in this. And Chazal tell us if you don't cry for Aaron's two sons for the loss of this tragedy, then you got problems. I mean, ad kadei kach. Why? Because we cannot even be master. You cannot absorb the tragedy of what happened on this day from all days. Aaron are going to lose his two children? It's not to be believed. And how did Aaron respond? He didn't say a word. Vayidoim Aaron. He was silent. Aaron expressed the greatest degree of emunah humanly possible. To be mekabel, such a gezerah, on this day from all days, something that is just not to be believed, he was silent. Tzadik mamish, tzadik be'emunah so yichya. This is the greatest form of emunah which we cannot appreciate. He was quiet. Vayidoim. That's emunah. To accept, not to complain, not to question, not to speak up, not to be agitated. Shemen, all the different items in this world, is the one that has the no sound. If I drop a bowling ball on the floor here, you'll all wake up. Okay, even in the middle of my most boring shir, you'll all wake up. Because something that is solid, that falls on the ground, makes noise. If I pour water, you'll all wake up. But if I take a bottle of olive oil today and I pour it on the floor, no one's waking up. Because olive oil doesn't make any sound when it hits ground. Doesn't make any sound. Olive oil represents the principle of Vayidoim Aaron. Silence. It represents Aaron's emuna peshuta in Hashem. He was able to accept his gezer from Hashem. That's Chanuk. What is Chanuk all about? Chanuk is about is Shem and Zayis. The rekindling of the menorah. The rededication of the service of the Kohanim. The Beis HaMikdash is the home of the Kohanim. What is Iraq? Iraq is a doimim. Iraq doesn't make a sound. This doimim, tzoleach chai medaber. Doimim is quiet. Atzomeach, it rustles in the wind, it makes noise. When the wind blows, you hear something. Achai makes a lot of noise. Keep you up the whole night. The bats, cats, the rats, squirrels, the dogs, whew, the cats, and the humans. They're even worse. They keep you up the whole night. Achai. And the medaber doesn't just produce sound. He produced intelligent sound. Okay, notice the madregos. Chazal are very precise in the madregos. They didn't say an odom, a balseichel. A medaber. Why medaber? Medaber is connected to doimim. What does doimim mean? It doesn't just mean a rock. It means quiet. No noise. A doimim. A chai. A tzameach rustles. A chai is sound. But medaber is an expression of sound that is that is intelligent sound. Most sur. The whole Yontif of Chanukah is all about Aroin HaKoyin, HaKoyhanim HaKidoshim. Notice that you said the moment you say HaNeiros HaLolu, HaNeiros HaLolu Kodoshim, it says Kodoshim Al Yidei Koyanecho HaKidoshim. It's the holiday of the Koyhanim. In this holiday, you pay tribute, homage to the Koyhanim. That's what the Yontif is all about. Al Yidei Koyanecho HaKidoshim. Who's the chief Koyin? Aaron, who is Aaron? Vayidim Aaron. This is the meat of the Kohanim. What is a rock? A rock is a doimim. A doimim. No sound. We learn from the Kohanim. We really don't understand how this world works. The world, it's a very complicated place. Hashem runs the world. To us, there's no rhyme, there's no reason. It requires a very, very intense degree of emunah to survive in this world. And who gives us that emunah? Our leaders. Who are our leaders? The Kohanim HaKadoshim. And what are the Kohanim HaKadoshim? The ability to be in the mind, to see things that we do not understand, and don't just be boyet, to kick, or to be mahapich, the ka'ad al panav, to take the pot and turn it upside down. These are those expressions of rebellion. Vayidim Aaron, to accept, be quiet. I don't understand, I'm not complaining, I accept. A rock is called a doimein. The mizmor of Chanukah is a tzor, a rock. Mo'oz tzor. The strength, Ribbono shel Olam, you are the strength of my rock. You are my rock, you are my strength. The two coming together means I'm quiet. I'm a makabel. I'm a Yidoim. And why am I a Vayidoim? Because you, Hashem, are my strength. You have given me the ability to have emunah in you. Ad kedei kach, I can be like a rock, a doimim, that doesn't make a peep. And where did I get that from? Aaron HaKoyin, who was that doimim, Vayidoim Aaron. Okay, so that's why, al derech drush, we begin the mizmor with, the piyut with the word, mo'oz tzur. A doimim. Vayidim aroim. Shemen doesn't make noise. This is Chanukah. This is the Yontif of Chanukah. Okay, Yeshua, you are my salvation. I want to go very quickly. It is beautiful. Chanukah is all about Hodor, Hoid. One thing that we get out of Chanukah, we get from the Yavanim. We owe them a lot of credit. Don't take it for granted. We owe them credit. We got from the Yavanim the Midah of Yoifi, beauty. Okay, we're not like the Yishmaelim. The Yishmaelim, look at the difference between the Yishmaelim and Klal Yisrael. The Yishmaelim, there's no Yoifi. Don't tell me that they are, I know they have a style. You ever read so often they have a, what's it called? They have a fashion shows. Fashion shows to I don't even want to say too many things. You know what I mean. But there's no Yoifi is something that comes from the Yavanim. Yaft Elokim liyefes. Hashem gave Yefes the gift of Yoifi, beauty. And what did Hashem instruct? The Yishkoin the Ohole Shem. This gift of beauty is something which should be transferred to the tent of Shem, to Klal Yisrael. Shem is our ancestors, to Klal Yisrael. The Beis Hamidosh was a place of beauty, of Yoifi. Klal Yisrael, all of the mitzvahs we have in Indian, Ze, Keli, Vyanveyu, Mahadrin, Mehadrin Mina Mahadrin. Why is there Hodor? Because this is what we take out of the Yavanim. Even though we survived, it was a very dangerous game being associated with the Yavanim. They almost destroyed us. They came that close to destroying us. But at the end of the day is they're gone. But even though they're gone, we did extract a nitzitz from them, which we used to serve Hashem, and we took out of the Yavanim the Yoifi. Yaft Elokim liyefes. The Yishkoin the Ohol Eshein. The Mela, everything about Hanukkah focuses on beauty, a beautiful menorah. The mitzvah is broken up into different stages of Hadar, Mahadrin, Mahadrin, and Amahadrin. And we've.
The Mishkan was gorgeous.
That's right. The Mishkan was. It was. The Mishkan was beautiful. That you're saying something very, very good, but it's still on a different level. It's still on a different level. The Mishkan was gold, and the Kohen Gadol, the clothing, it's true. What you're saying is very, very true. But it was expanded. It was a major, major expansion in the common man's life. Look Havdil, the Muslims. Their masks are they beautify them.
Not so much.
But they don't live. They don't live a life privately of beauty. You don't see it. I mean, maybe the modern ones, the ones who have broken away from their roots. Ancient Muslims, you don't see they have a very they make their mask nice to a degree, but the way they dress, the way they live, nomads. Klal Yisrael, we live with Yoifi. Okay, it's expensive. What? Is that really from the Muslims? Is that really them? I don't know if that's Yisrael. That might be Persian. That might be
Persian.
Persian. They're what? Oh, so we took that. This came. It's a pasuk in the Torah. Mamish pasuk. Let's go further. It could be already by the Mishkan. You're right. It could be the Mishkan already. We took it from them already at that point in time. Yafel kibul yafes. It should be all ashamed. So the Mishkan is all ashamed. Chanukah is just even a greater expansion of that. Okay? There's something to be said about Yoifi. No question about it. And what do we do in the very beginning of this piyut? We immediately say, Ribbono shel Olam, it's not for us. It's all for you. We right away say l'cho no'eh l'shabeach. Okay, we focus on the word no'eh. No'eh means beautiful. Yoifi, no'eh. This is all an extension of yaft. So the Chanukah we survived. Vayida we survived. All the gzeirois we accepted it. Ma'osor yishuasi l'cho no'eh. Now, what do we take out of this yomtiv? Right away, we make mention of the of what we have extracted, the nitzitz of kedusha that we have experienced through this horrible 103 years. Every difficult experience in life is an opportunity in order to extract something positive. It's not so easy, it really isn't, but if you really want to work on it, there's what to be gained in every difficult situation. And here, the Paita Mamish really does. We survived. Mosur Yeshuasi. When it's all over, we survived. And now, what's now? What's next? L'chot to you, Hashem, is no'eh. The first thing is, there's one thing that we got out of Yavan. 103 years, they shoved down our throat the beauty of life. Beauty, without spirituality, of course. So we survived with the spirituality, and what are the spoils of war? The beauty. We take that now for us. Now, you live in Flatbush, cost a lot of money. It's not cheap, but there's something to it. We take it l'cho no'eh. We've survived. We're now going to make out of lemons lemonades l'shabeach. Tikkun based the philosophy. We're going to run through tikkun different. Now we pray. This is a prayer. We pray for now. This is an amazing concept. This is really this idea is off the charts. What do I mean is off the charts? We dive into Hashem, right? We dive. But then there's something called davening to daven. Hashem, I won't daven to you so that I can daven. It's like Hashem sifosai tiftachu fi agit hilsecha. A prayer for a prayer. I'm praying to you, Hashem, that I can pray. So just pray. Don't make too many hachonis. I don't want all the hachonis. Just get down to business. That's true, obviously. But sometimes, to show how chashiv something is, you double it over. What do you get out of Chanukah? It's tikkun, we pray, we ask you, Hashem, to establish for us a place where we can pray. It's a prayer for a prayer. There was no Beis HaMikdash. the Beis HaMikdash was shut down. Okay? Off limits. Couldn't go there. Came out like when the Kosel HaMaravi, you couldn't go there until 67? Until 67, you couldn't really go there. Yeah, it was dangerous to go there. So, you pray to Hashem that I can go there. And oh, very good. Now you can go there. Now what? Now you can go there. What do there when you go there? Take pictures. You take pictures. You sing and dance. No, you go there so you can daven more. You pray to Hashem, open up the Kodesh of HaMaravi so we can go there and do what? And we can daven there. Not take a picture there. Yeah.
It's the second pasuk in Matovu.
Yeah.
If the very first pasuk, which was from Bilam, say, Vani Brav Chazakha Avo Vesecha.
No, that's Shema. We're giving praise. Yeah, we're not praying. We're giving a Shema. Vani, I've arrived.
That Hashem is so good to us that He gives us the opportunity.
Correct. So here we're asking for an opportunity. Why are we asking that? Because we know what it means to lose the opportunity. Chanukah, they had a Beis HaMikdash, but it was shut down. The doors are locked. Only pagans allowed. No Jews, no dogs. Only pagans allowed into the Beis HaMikdash. So these words are so powerful. The Python. What are we saying now when the miracle happens? We now have an appreciation of what it means to have a Beis HaMikdash. We pray when the Beis HaMikdash was shut down, we felt it. We ask Hashem, just like in that, we're speaking today, but we're relating to the people living in that period of time. They had a Beis HaMikdash, but they lost the opportunity to go to the Beis HaMikdash. It hurt. They had new appreciation. We also relate to that. We also pray to Hashem to give us the Beis HaMikdash, not to take pictures, but to go there and have a different type of davening. Okay, Tikkun Beis Tefillah V'Sham there, Toida Nizbech there. We can offer a Thanksgiving offering. Okay, Toida Karban Toida Nizbech. This is the Dalai Mamor Chazal. When in times of Mashiach, all of the Karbanos will be bottled except for which one? The Karban Toida. Okay? Who will be Mechal Shabbos when there's going to be a Beis HaMikdash? Who's going to bring a carbon asham? It's not going to happen. This is the primary purpose of the Beis HaMikdash. It's not going to go bring a carbon chatos, carbon asham. No one's going to sin. It's going to bring us a chazal. It's going to be there to bring, have a new appreciation of life and to bring to Hashem a carbon toida. The sham, when we rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, sham toida nizabech. Now here, okay, at that time, when you tochin, you prepare a matveach. What's a matveach? The slaughterhouse. For who? Our enemies. Here we're getting into vengeance. Okay, now this is a very interesting concept in Judaism. Are we violent people? Good question. It's a really good question. Okay, let's not go there. It's a tough question. Are we violent people?
The Tanakh is very violent.
It's very violent, it really is. You can't ignore the fact. One of the reasons why they don't teach Tanakh, and it's a true reason. Today maybe not, but traditionally the people in Chinuch were never very excited about teaching Nach, teaching Sefer Melachim, Sefer Yeshua. The first thing you teach them in Sefer Yeshua is you cut off your enemy's thumbs. Okay, that's the first thing you learn in Sefer Yeshua. Mamish, what is the second pair, first thing? Oh, I already forgot my whole Nach. The first thing is you got your enemy, you chop off the guy's thumb. You know, teaching that to a third grade student, not necessarily. Third grade students had problems. My father told me in his class, that a guy in his class used to watch Superman, and the kid jumped out of the window, and he died. Guy in his class. He watched Superman on television. Guy, Superman, the old black and white Superman films. Goes to the window, and he jumps out. The kid jumped out of the window, and he died. Rahman Litzlan. So, people in Chinuch, the world of Chinuch, they're not very excited about teaching about revenge and Avner and Yoav and cutting off thumbs and lining up people and killing them. It's a very violent subject matter.
Even the victory here, even the military victory,
was a gruesome.
Downplayed.
Right, right.
Except in, it's mentioned, but it's downplayed.
So, you need a Rebbe who puts everything in perspective, and guess what? You know, not everyone is qualified. You know, if you don't have a Rebbe who's qualified to teach you Bereshis, the world won't come to an end. Hashem created the world of Bereshis. The world won't come to an end if you teach them the wrong thing about Bereshis. But you teach them the wrong thing about, go through Tanakh, It's a very dangerous subject. It's not an excuse. There's no excuse not to be ignorant. No one's denying the. It's a problem, and you need the manpower, the resources to do it right. And unfortunately, in past years, the yeshivas are really underfunded, and they have. It's one of the first things to go. No, it's not an excuse. There is no excuse to get to be ignorant, but they teach very little. You think they really teach? They don't. They make you sound like they know everything. They teach you all the Rambans and all the Tanakh. It's not. They don't teach everything either. They're very unfortunately, I don't know why. I don't have any answers. I can't explain anything. Okay, Ozeg Mordiful Ace Tochin, we will prepare the Madgah. This is a very gruesome word. It means there's gonna be a din v'cheshbon. All of our enemies who have spilled our blood, tortured us, obliterated us, committed genocide, we will prepare the matbeach, the place of slaughter for our wicked enemies. Mitzor from the enemy. Now here is a very, very telling and powerful word which changes the dynamics of everything. Haminabeach. The word haminabeach appears to be used exclusively in reference to who? A dog.
Right.
Every creature has their own vocabulary. Our enemy who is barking like a dog. Now what is a dog, by the way? What is the characteristic of a dog? Where do we find dogs in Tanakh to define what this means? It's a very, very big mystery. This is not clear what this means. So one thing we have to understand is dog is man's best friend. That we all know. Dog is extremely loyal. The enemy who barks. Okay, a dog, we also cannot ignore the fact that a dog, ulchol b'nei yisrolo yechratz kelev l'shoinai. As we mentioned, the first stanza that we mentioned is leading into the first. There are so many layers of interpretation on this piyah. This piyah is like off the charts, and how many things you can. There's secrets there are, but this is leading in to Mitzrayim. When we left Mitzrayim, all the things that you can say on our way out, all the things you can say, a million things. The pasuk has to go and tell us l'chol b'nei Yisrael yechratz kelev l'shoinai. I mean, who's the dogs? Maybe the pasuk aderech Jewish is not referring to the dog; they're referring to the Mitzrayim. When the Jewish people left, the Mitzrayim had no complaints. The Mitzrayim are the dogs. They're the dogs. They're the dogs who are barking. We borrowed. They behave like dogs. The way they treated us. We have to understand. There's a lot of depth. I don't have all the problems. I don't know anything. But you have just drawing some ideas. They were the dogs, the Mitzrayim. And we left. They saw the Yad Hashem. They saw Ani Hashem in the Malach v'le Shliach v'le Sodaf Ani Hashem, and they were Matzik Aleim Esadin. And they said, "That's right. That's right. You deserve to go out with covered with Anania covered and all of these miracles." And we gave you our money. We gave you the Bizas Mitzrayim. Ulechol lo yechratz kelev l'shoinai. The Egyptians, they're the spitz. They are the dog. And Mitzrayim, what is Mitzrayim, as we started with, is the template. Mitzrayim is koilel all of the Dalit Malchios. Before we begin with Bavel and Parasum Modai and Yavon and Edom, we first have the Hakdama of Mitzrayim. And Mitzrayim is all four together. And all four together, they're all there. And when Klal Yisrael are leaving, and what is the term the Torah uses to define the Shleimus of the Dal Malchios? A dog. A dog like over here down the block, walking on the street. No, we're talking about the Umos HaOlam. You can break them up into a zoo, in different creatures. But when you want to morph them all together into one creature, the creature which they all morph into is a dog. And when we left Mitzrayim, the Umos HaOlam in their entirety, they weren't barking. They were saying, "That's right, you deserve to go." They're Matzik Aleim Esadin. So now when it says we're going to lay out the Matbeach, the slaughterhouse, for all of our enemies, Mitzor HaMenabeach, from the dog who barks. It's a composite of all the Dal Malchios. Just like it was the composite of all the Dal Malchios in the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim. V'sham toida nezabeach, and then we'll give thanks to Ribbono Shel Olam give thanks. This obviously play on the word. That's going to be the Gemara. It's not going to be a Chatzi Hallel.
Do you know how Artsbol translates Minabeya?
No.
Blaspheming.
Okay, there. I am part of the Torah. I am part of the Torah, but over here, my Sefer, it says the word minabeach means it's used in reference to
like
a dog.
Like barking dogs, their sound is what they say, and this is a term. It's pointless.
Right. It's a term. Okay. Oh, then we'll say now that's one mahalich. Another mahalich is dog is man's best friend. Who are our worst enemies? Our best friends. The people that's because you can watch out from an enemy. Enemy, you know how to watch out from. He's an enemy. We'll nuke him. Okay, Cold War. You know we know who our enemies are, but when you don't know who your enemies are, and your friends, and sometimes your enemy doesn't even know he's your enemy. The human mind is so complex. People have their own negios. People, everyone is a survival of the fittest. And when you're not in a matzav of selflessness to be good to someone else, you don't even realize I'm your best friend. You don't even realize you're his biggest enemy. You're undermining him because you're selfish and you're taking advantage of what's good for him. So it says here, when Mashiach will come, we'll lay out the matbeach for, you know, for who? For our best friends. Because now we're going to realize the nations that we think were doing us such good favors. Listen, everyone, they do a chesed is a chesed. We're not trying to bring out microscopic yom over here. Nations do chesed, chesed is chesed. You can't deny the bottom line. The bottom line is usually what counts. Was Bush, HW, was he an oyev Yisrael or soyne Yisrael? You know something? It doesn't matter. Results are what counts. He was good. He got us through the Persian Gulf War. He went and he made sure that he held back Eretz Yisrael from reciprocating.
Much more than that.
He gave us weapons.
Ethiopian Jews, Russian Jews.
Everything. Oh, but you'll tell me quotations and testimony of things that he's a mamish kefirloch.
Yeah.
You're right. You know what? You know what? Results count. Right? There's such a thing like that, correct? Okay, but there is also something, there's also something to who you really are. Is Roosevelt a friend of the Jews?
No.
That will go on forever and ever. Oil and void, right? That will never come to an end. I think today all the new evidence is it's not too good. It's not in his favor. Any event, it used to be, right? There's three Velts. There's this Velt, Jena Velt, and Roosevelt. FDR. FDR is the debate of the century. The debate of the century, was he good for the Jews or was he not good for the Jews? You have to listen to Rabbi Stephen Przanski's his lectures, 25 lectures, The Jews and the Presidents. Okay, they're fantastic. Utterly fantastic. He knows American history like none other. I don't believe any living president of the United States knows American history as good as he does. He knows history, he knows this stuff. It just flows. What he knows about American history and the presidents of the United States is not to be believed. And he analyzes all the presidents, the relationship with Jews. What did he even know a Jew existed? Did George Washington ever see a Jew his whole life? Not so simply ever saw a Jew. Was he a Jew? Was George Washington himself Jewish? He goes through everything. It's very, very fascinating. You learn a lot about American history. You should listen to those tapes. They really, why you tore that war. And then going back over here, us mitzvah amabech. Okay, we're out of time. At least we did one. Let's just know it instead. Let us just do the last one because we're out of time. Let's do the last one. Okay, the last one. Who wrote the last one? It's a very big debate. The last one is a very big debate. If he the one who was mechaber this piyut even wrote. His name ends Mordechai. Chasov Zrakotshecha. Did he write this last one? This is about Edom. Edom didn't end yet. We're still stuck in the middle. And that's why there's nothing more than a prayer. I will translate the words. Chasoif means to expose. Zeroya, your arm, kachach, your holy arm, which means your might. Hashem, show your power in this world. The Karev Kates HaYeshua, bring the redemption. The Kates means the end of days of salvation. Take revenge against the Edoim. Nikoim nikmas dam avodecha me'uma harashah, from the evil empire, the evil nation. By the way, this has been tampered with. been tampered with? Who even says it was Me'umah or Me'umah or Rishah, the other Girsa? What?
You know, we live in the era of art scroll, but before, you could pick up six Siddurah.
Exactly.
Have six different.
Exactly, exactly.
Based on
we live in a melting pot.
And everything else.
That's right.
Now everybody says the same thing.
Exactly, exactly. All right, whatever it is, it is. Ki Archalanu HaYeshua, because it's been a long time. Long time. The ain kates lemei haron. There's no end. There's no end in sight. The days of evil. The chay adamon push. The adamon is the red one. Edom, betzel in the shadow of Salmon of death.
You know, you remember what I said about.
You have a shear on this. Yeah.
In the shadow of the cross.
Ooh, right, right. You gave a shear on this. You gave a shear on this.
Not politically correct.
You gave a shear on this. Why Salmon on the cross?
Selim.
Right, okay, okay, you're right, you're right. In the shadow of the cross, you're right. That's hit the nail on the head. People who have caused the Jews to die in their religion push them in their own. Meeting them at Sel Tzalma. You're right. This is unbelievable what you're saying. Hakim Ranu Royim Shiva. This is a topic which is beyond me for now. The seven shepherds. Who is the seven shepherds? David's in the middle. Seven branches on the menorah. It's Hanukkah, right? There are seven branches on the menorah. David's in the middle. On the one side is Avraham. On the left side is Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And who's on the right side? Enosh, Sheis, and Nisu Shelach. Not other. Why do those three get honorable mention? It's we'll learn Micha. Near Hashem, we're going to learn this in the Treyasa. Coming down the pipeline soon, we'll eventually learn this. What? No, not Moshe. Enosh, that's what it says in the Chazal. This is called Micha.
My question is,
okay, that we have to we're gonna learn Yashem Micha. Okay, so we have now I just want to point out, what does this mean over here? Chasoif Zeroyak, I just want to point out two short things here. What does it mean over here? Chasoif Zeroyak Kotshecha. Expose your holy arm. Throughout Chazal, we find a very great emphasis on Hashem's tefillin shel Rosh. Hashem wears tefillin. Moshe said, Hashem, hareinos kivaydecha. I want to see your tefillin. Hashem said, no, I can't show it to you. I'll show you the dalit. I'll show you the back of the tefillin, the kesher shel tefillin. Hashem wears tefillin. What does it say in his tefillin? Umi ka'amcha Yisrael. We once spent a lot of time, this is unbelievable, Rabbi Adler, Rabbi, what's his name? Nosson Adler? YU, Rashid YU, I forgot his name. He wrote a kuntres on the piyot Anim Zemirois. Never blew my mind. Never knew this. The entire Anim Zemirois is all about Hashem's tefillin. Every is the perfect drasha for bar mitzvah boy. Every single line in Anim. We spent time on this. We spent time going through the whole thing. We wrote a whole kuntres on this. Unbelievable. The entire thing of Anim Zemirois is all about Hashem's tefillin. Kesher tefillin. Yitzchok. No. Is that his name? Could be.
From LA.
No. Someone else. I think his name is Adler. I'm pretty sure his name is Adler. Okay, we spent time on that. All about so. Now, if you notice, if I'm not mistaken, almost everything that we find in the Chazal about Hashem's tefillin is only about Hashem's tefillin shel Rosh. Where do we ever find Hashem's tefillin shel Yad? Right here. Expose the Zeroya Kodshecha. What's the holy part of Hashem's arm? The tefillin shel yad. What is the arm? The power of Hashem. We put tefillin on the rosh. V'hoyo l'chol ois. Why is it l'chol ois? Why do you cover it? It's on your biceps. It's on your muscles. Hashem doesn't want violence. Hashem is not interested in you picking up your weapons and destroying the world. Put something holy. There are times. Listen, Hanukkah is a time. So that's exactly why we use it, and we do this the very little thing. What was Hanukkah? Hanukkah was a milchama. It's a very unique holiday. Hanukkah is something which a lot of the koichiv yoitzim yodi people love Hanukkah. They love it because Hanukkah, you went out to war, you fought, you let them have it. Let the enemy know we'll give them the business. Okay, that's an approach, a political approach. So people, they love Hanukkah. Look, the state of Israel is all about Hanukkah, you should know. The menorah, the olives, it's all about Hanukkah because the state of Israel is koichi v'yoytzim yadi. No? Okay, it's doing it in a good way. in a good way. Israelis have that, you know, that toughness. Hashem is not. Is this the Jewish way? I don't know. Yes or no? Okay. Yes or no? Everything is like that, but we definitely find a much greater emphasis on no, on suppress it. Keep it covered. Don't take out your weapon so fast. And Ribbono Shelom, we don't find Hashem doing it either. Hashem is always, but the time will come, Rabbi Yisai, when Hashem will reveal His Tefillin Shaliyat, and that means it's curtains for our enemies. The Tefillin Shaliyat is begeder v'hayol l'cholos. It's covered. It's concealed. But when we mevakesh the big guns, the nukes, chasoif, expose ziroya kotshecha. We emphasize here an emphasis on zman. Why zman? Because the whole Chanukah is about zman. The whole Chanukah is the fact that the shemen lasted more than the zman. The whole last line of this, of Edom, when we connect it to Chanukah, is time. The Karev Keitz HaYeshua. Next, Ki Orcholonu HaYeshua, it's taking too long. V'ein Keitz, there's no Keitz Limei Hara. We emphasize Zman three times, because that's what Chanukah is all about. Chanukah is all about the test of time. Let me wind down this last Yisoid. It's not really on the law. Sorry, I wanted to tell you before, but it relates to the Dal Vachas very, very quickly. Every day we say Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzivakos, Lachot Kvado, and then we say, then we say Baruch Kivoid Hashem Mekaymai, and then we say Hashem Yimloch Li'olam Voed. Basically, there are five different expressions. The Targum, every day we translate the three words Kadosh. What's the first Kadosh? The first Kadosh is Hashem is holy in Shemayim. Kaddish Bishmei Meroma. Hashem, you're holy in Shemayim. The second Kadosh is Kaddish Al Ara, on the earth. This holiness on the earth. The third Kadosh is Le'olam U'le'olmei Omayo. Zman. And then we say Baruch Kivoyd Hashem Mekayimai. What does that mean? It means Berich Yikara, honor, Kovoid, a new concept. And then the last is Malchus, Melech. What do these five correspond to? The Dalid Malchios. What was the survival of, what did Bavel do? What did Bavel accomplish? They destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. What is the Beis Hamikdash? It is the Mokom, the Hashroas Hashchina, Hashem's divine presence. So they thought by destroying Hashem's divine presence from this world, it's all over, right? Hashem's Shechina is right here. This is the holiness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the first Kadosh. We're still here. Even though they destroyed the Beis Hamikdash, which was the place which housed Hashem, so Hashem went to Shemayim, but Hashem is still Hashem's Kaddish. Hashem's essence exists. What was the miracle of, what was the next goal? It's Paras Umodai. What did Mordechai and Achashverosh and Haman want to destroy? Our bodies. Lahashmid, Laharigu, Labedes, Kol HaYehudu, Minar, V'Yadzokin, the Guf, the Kedusha that's on the earth. Man is a product of the earth. Ofra Minu Adama. What's the next miracle? Next Golas, Yevanim. What does it say, the third Kadosh in the Targum we say every single day? Zman, Le'olam, Uliolmei, Olmayo. What is the Chanukah miracle? The Neros lasted more than the Zman. What does that teach us? What did the Yevanim really try to do? They didn't try to destroy Hashem. It doesn't work. They didn't try to destroy us. We can live. You know what? Let's go through let's just do the test of time. You'll expire. Klal Yisrael, okay, there's Ribbono Shel Olam, and there's you, but everything in the supermarket eventually expires. Every package has an expiration date. You know, enjoy the culture. Participate in our entertainment. In Mela, you'll just, Hashem will be in Shemayim, your bodies will be here on the earth, but there'll be no connection anymore. There'll be no religious service, no religious. What was Chanukah all about? We will outlive you. It's a matter of Zman. the nitzchias of Klal Yisrael, will, the kedusha that brings together the shemayim and the aretz, will outlive all of your craziness, all of your mishagas. The siman Chanukah is the third kodosh. Haneros halalu kodesh heim. Which kodesh? It's kodosh, kodosh, kodosh. Which one? Number three. The third kodesh. What's the next expression? Baruch kivoid Hashem imukayim. What is Edom? The goalus of Edom? Kovod. The whole malchus of Edom is they've established a new priority. You Jewish people, you're here to stay. You're here to stay. We can't obliterate you. We can't obliterate Hashem. We can't obliterate the earth, the people, the bodies. You'll pass the test of time, but you know something? You're not important. You're just not important. You're just a little collection of troublemakers living in the Middle East who are occupiers, and you have no significance on the world stage. There's no covet for Klal Yisrael. The essence of the Malchus of Edom is to suppress the importance of Klal Yisrael. The world already saw, you can't take out spirituality out of this world. You can't take the Jewish people off the face of the earth. They're always going to be Jews. You can't get rid of them. They're going to pass the test of time. Chanukah's proven they'll pass. They'll always be here. They're a leech. You'll never get rid of them. But at least, you know what we can do? We can make them third-class citizens of the world. Of the world, of the League of Nations, the Jews are condemned over and over again. The mevaza them. Mevaza them. There's no covet for the Jewish people. The nitzrius of surviving Golus Edom is Baruch Kivoid Hashem Emukamo, to restore the honor to Klal Yisrael, who carries the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then comes the finale. What's the finale? The synthesis of all four. Just like we saw the Moses Sur is the template in Mitzrayim, at the end is the synthesis. What's the synthesis? Hashem Yimloich Li'oilom Boed. A melech is, by definition, in control over subjects. Malchus is kovod, and it's le'olam voed. Hashem Yimloch has all the elements together. There is the Ribbono Shel Olam. He's a melech, which means he's moishel over the tachtoinim, the earthly, that's the second kodesh, the tachtoinim. He's the melech. Hashem is moishel. He's a melech. Melech is kovod. You give kovod to a melech, and it's nitzri. It's le'olam voed. For every single day, kodosh, 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 Baruch Kivoid Hashem in Mekoimoy, Hashem Yimloch Liolam Voed. This is the Dalit Malchios, and then the synthesis of Dalit Malchios. And where are we holding now in Chanukah? The third Kadosh. Olam Ulme Olmayo, it represents the Nitzchis. We're here forever. You can't push us around. All right? A wonderful Yom Tov, a wonderful Chanukah. We should bring Geulus, Yeshuas, and the Chomis, the Gan Chai Shol. Mincha, Rabbi Yisrael, Mincha. Last Al Hanisim.